السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we were talking about the intentions, but we started recording late. So, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, people are four kinds. One is rich and righteous. Rich, good guy, a good person, and righteous person. So he's rich. He's righteous and rich. So he uses his money to do what? To give to charity. Okay, whatever the charity is. There are lots of kinds of charities, but he uses his money to give to the charity. Okay, and have a good life as well. That's number one. Number two is a good person, righteous person, but poor. Poor. He can't give away. But he wishes, he desires. If he has money, he would do the same thing, like number one, the rich and righteous. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, like with his fingers like this, he said, they are equally rewarded. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
One paid the money. One is rich, he spent the money. One is poor, he didn't spend the money. So how come he gets the same reward?
Because
they had the same intentions. That's right. And then the other two are one that Allah gave money, but he's a bad guy. So he's spending his money, throwing parties and doing bad things and, you know, buying liquor, wasting his money. And the fourth kind is a poor person, but he's bad. So he didn't do anything haram, but he wishes he has money so that he can do the same things that number three did. So they are equally rewarded or equally they are equally bad or equally even?
Equally bad.
Bad. So the number three had the money and he did bad deeds with the money. But number four didn't do anything. So how come he's equally bad?
Because
of his intentions. Okay. So anything you desire, that you want to do, okay, that is what you're judged by. You're not judged by actually what's happening. You are judging by what you wanted. What, okay? So even though if you did it or not, the fact that you wanted to do it, just like wanted to buy liquor, this the fact, you're equal to the one, okay? You're the one who actually did it. So the Prophet said they are equally sinful. They are equally bad. Now, who knows, who can tell me, who knows the intention? Can I judge your intention?
No.
Can I say your intentions blah blah?
No.
No. Who can judge the intentions?
Allah.
Because the intentions is a secret between you and Allah, is a secret between you and Allah. Okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, if you read, Allah is blaming the Jews at the time of the Prophet Muhammad of the mistakes of the Jews at the time of Prophet Musa. So Allah tells them, you have done this to Musa, you have done this. Addressing the Jews that are at the time of Prophet Muhammad. One very good question is, now those Jews at the time of Prophet Muhammad, why they are being held guilty with the sins of the Jews at the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam? Why? Because something has to do with the intention. Because they have similar hearts. They have similar hearts. So the good, these Jews had, the Jews at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had similar hearts to the Jews at the time of Musa alayhi salam. And when we say the Jews, we don't mean the entire Jews, but you know, the portion, that particular portion of Jews, okay? They were blamed because they had the same heart. Like the ones who give hard time to Prophet Musa, okay? They have the same heart as the ones who give hard time to Prophet Muhammad. They are being blamed because of a similarity of heart. So there are two worlds, the physical world that we all witness, so, and then the world of intentions. Allah judges by the word of the world of the intentions. Does Allah care about the world of actions?
Yeah.
Does Allah judge by the word of actions?
Yeah.
No. He judges by the world of intention, not the world of actions. So whatever happens, okay, whatever happens, you are being judged on your, by your intention. And Allah is making it easy because the intentions of the believer is always better than his deeds. Like he intends to spend $1,000, he ends up spending $100. But he gets the reward for $1,000 because he intended to donate $1,000. You get it? So Allah saying, the Prophet saying, the intention of the believer is better than the deeds itself, the deeds of the believer itself. Okay. There was, at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a slave family, which is called the family of Yasir, the family of Yasir. And these families were slave family, okay? Those slave family, they became Muslims, the father, the mother, and the guy, Yasir. The Yasir, the father, okay? And then Sumayya, the mother, and then Ammar is the child. So Yasir, Sumayya, Ammar. Okay? When they became Muslims, just imagine what would happen to them. They don't have a family or a tribe or a clan to protect them. They are slaves. So they were tortured beyond the imagination. And the one who tortured them is Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl. Did you hear about this name, Abu Jahl? Yes. Do you know about him? What do you know about Abu Jahl? He is the most terrible Muslim. I'm sorry, he is the most terrible non-Muslim because he gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam very hard time, and he fought Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much, and he insulted Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ called him the Pharaoh of the Muslim Ummah. So he is like the Pharaoh of the Muslim Ummah. Or I'm sorry, the Pharaoh of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ time. The Pharaoh at the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ time. So he is going to get the reward of a Pharaoh. Why? Because he was acting like a Pharaoh. His heart is like a Pharaoh. Okay? So Abu Jahl tortured Ammar, Sumayya. Ammar and Sumayya and the son Yasir. Sumayya was...
Son is Ammar,
yes. Yes, you're right. Thank you for correcting me. So Abu Jahl, after he got fed up with Sumayya, he killed her. So Sumayya will be known in the history of Islam as the first martyr in Islam. So if they ask you, which is the first martyr in Islam? You say, Sumayya. Sumayya. Okay? So she's the one who was killed for the sake of Allah. She's the first one. And then the second one is Yasir. He was tortured beyond ability. He was tortured beyond ability to bear. And then he became... He was killed also by Abu Jahl. He was also killed by Abu Jahl. You have anything down there? Okay.
Well, it's just because his name's Yasser.
Oh, okay. So Yasser was also killed by Abu Jahl. Guess who survived? The son, Ammar. But Ammar was being tortured by Abu Jahl to curse the Prophet. He told him, I want you to curse Muhammad. So under torture and devastation, he was devastated and finding because his father and mother were killed, and he was so much in pain emotionally and physically because he's being tortured. So he said, I denounce Islam, and Muhammad is blah blah. Okay? So Abu Jahl untied him and he let him go. So Ammar was so sad and crying. And he went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, they torture me so that I say bad things about you, so that I curse you. So the Prophet asked him one question. He asked, what was your intention? What was the intention in your heart? What's in your heart? Is it the love of Allah and His Prophet or otherwise? So he said, no, what's in my heart is the love of the Prophet and Allah, love of Allah and the Prophet. He said, then if they torture you again, go ahead and curse again. Okay? So in the Islam, whatever you're forced to do, you're not to be blamed. You're not blamed for something that you have, you're forced by someone to do. Like somebody puts a gun to your head and says, do this and do that, or I will kill you. Or do this and do that and torturing you to do it. You're not accountable for this. You're not accountable for something that you do that you didn't want to do. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the Muslims are forgiven for errors, unintended errors, human errors, mistakes. I'm sorry, not mistakes. Things that they are forced to do. Okay, so things are forced to do, errors, and things that you forgot about, and the thing you forgot about. For example, if you forgot to pray Maghrib, does Allah punish you for that? You forgot to pray Maghrib, and you never prayed it to the rest of your life, because you all forgot all about it. Are you blamed for this?
No.
What if somebody forces you not to pray? Are you blamed for this?
No.
What if you unintentionally you had a car accident? Are you blamed for this?
No.
So basically, these three things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet ﷺ said, you're not judged. You're not judged if you have one of those three cases. There is, at the time of one of the prophets, at the time of the children of Israel, one of the children of Israel, at the time of one prophet, he used to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to disobey Allah so much. And then he goes and says, Ya Allah, how many times I've disobeyed you and you never punished me? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet at that time that go and tell my slave how many times I've punished you, but you didn't know. but you didn't notice? How many times I've punished you, but you didn't notice? How is that possible? For example, you should have gotten a promotion. Allah will not allow you to have this promotion. Allah will not allow you, or like, you lose the promotion. Why? Because you disobeyed Allah. The question is, how would you know that you're getting a promotion? You would have gotten a promotion if you didn't do this bad deed. You wouldn't know that, right? You wouldn't know that. So that's why Allah is punishing you. How come, let's say Allah planned to give you like 2 children, and because you disobeyed him, he decides to give you no children. How can you figure out that Allah intended to give you 2, but because you did bad deeds, then you get nothing? How do you know that? Huh? You can't. You will only get to know that in the Day of Judgment. In the Day of Judgment, Allah will, Allah will tell you this: what would have happened to you if you didn't disobey me? This is what you missed if you didn't disobey me. You got this part? Okay. Oh, picture. Now, about combining intentions. Okay? If I go to the masjid, if I intend to go to the masjid to pray, okay, and show off. So you intended to pray, so you have a good intention, okay, and you have also an evil intention, which is to show off. So are you getting good deeds or bad deeds? Bad deeds, exactly. But how come you went to the masjid to pray?
Because you didn't do it for Allah.
Exactly. So you have a bad intention, okay, and a good intention. So when you combine a good intention with a bad intention, you get total is
bad,
which is bad deed. Okay? How about if you say, okay, I'm going to the masjid to pray, and my way back, I stop by the supermarket to get milk. How is that intention? Do you get hasanat or sayyat?
Good deeds.
Good deeds?
Don't
get any. Huh? What?
Deeds. Don't get any deeds, right?
Why?
Because you still have good intentions because you're coming back.
You can combine good intention with another good intention. So the first good intention was to pray. The second good intention was to get the what? Milk. Can you combine both? Yes, you can combine both. Let's say, for example, another example. Let's say you pray. You didn't pray. But you prayed because your dad will be happy. You want to please your father. So you pray because you want to please your father. You want to do it for the sake of Allah and for the sake of pleasing your father. Okay? Is this a good deed or a bad deed?
Bad.
Huh?
Bad.
Why bad?
Because you're doing it for Allah. You're doing it for Allah, but you also
don't. You're doing it for Allah. You're right. Can you explain why?
Because you're still doing it for Allah, but then you're also pleasing someone, another person in the process.
Father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pleasing father. Is it a good dad or bad? Good deed or bad deed?
Good
deed. How about praying for the sake of Allah? So good deed with a good deed. Pleasing your father is a good deed. How about you pray to deceive your father?
Okay, how would you deceive your father?
Yeah, just pray in front of him and he's not there, you know, just don't pray.
Oh, bad deed.
Bad deed. Okay? You know, cheat your father or deceive your father to make, pretend that you pray all the time, okay, and the reality is you never pray, but when your dad is here, you pray. Okay, so that is a bad deed because you're intended to
only please your only, dad.
Exactly. How about if you intend to please your dad? Like, your dad is there, you want to pray to make your dad happy.
Is that a bad deed?
Good deed. Because you do it for the sake of Allah and for the sake of making your dad happy. Both of them are what? Good intention. Good intention. So you can combine a good intention with another good intention. You get that? You can say, okay, I am going to the market. There are something that will make all your deeds count as good intentions. If you say Bismillah, if you say Bismillah before anything, it makes it good deed. Okay? If you do something without the name of Allah, as we explained last time, you get the benefit, but you don't get the good deed. You get the benefit of this life, whatever you intended to get, but you don't get a good deed. So eating, is it halal or is it halal or is it not halal? Or it's normal? Like normal, no, it's like zero. It's not plus one or negative one. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Eating, is it a good deed or a bad deed or nothing?
Good.
Huh? Good deeds? And you said nothing?
No. It's
you said nothing? Why? Why is it nothing?
Because you need to eat to survive in life, you aren't just...
Yeah. Why would that make it nothing?
But eating is like it's good to eat. It's not like you're doing something.
Right.
To eat, so.
But do you get nothing or you get rewards?
Good deed.
Yeah. One condition to get good deed is that you do. You say what?
Bismillah.
See how much good deeds we miss, hasanat. All you have to do is just think about Allah. And say Bismillah or say Alhamdulillah or mention the name of Allah. When you do that, your deed becomes
good deeds.
Okay? So, you do so many things. There's something called making your life longer. Making your life longer. How is that? There are certain opportunities that if you take advantage of, you get multiple hasanat. For example, when you pray at the night of Laylatul Qadr in Ramadan, how much hasanat you get? 1,000 months.
That's only on
Earth. Yeah. So it's like you have worshipped Allah 1,000 months. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complained to Allah. He said, Ya Allah, the lifespan of the Muslims are so short compared to the lifespans of other nations. Like other nations, they used to live longer. Used to live 1,000 years, 900 years, you know. The previous historical people in the history, followers of the prophets, they used to live a lot of time. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ya Allah, those guys lived 700 years, 800 years. The Muslims will live like 60, 70 years. How can the Muslims compete with these guys in good deeds? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, I am going to give you two things. If you do, they will count as multiple deeds. He said, I'll give you Laylatul Qadr, which is equal to 72 years. 1,000 divided by 12. What's 1,000 divided by 12? 1,000 divided by 12. Calculator. 1,000 divided by 12. 84 years. So, it's like you have worshipped Allah non-stop for 84 years. Okay? Then Allah said, I will also give them, for each good deed, I'm going to give them 10. So this way, they can catch up with good deeds. They have these opportunities to catch up with good deeds. Okay? During Ramadan, do you have to say the intention that I intend to fast for the sake of Allah?
Yes.
Okay, how about prayer? Do you have to say the intention? I intend to pray for the sake of Allah? Yeah. You say this. You say it to yourself. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have to do that?
No.
Okay. In Ramadan, is the only deed that you have to say it loudly to yourself, of course. You can do this every day, or you can do it once a month for the whole month. You say, Ya Allah, I intend to fast the entire month of Ramadan to please you. Okay? So when you say that, you say it loudly once a time in the month, at the beginning of the month, then you're fine. What if you forgot to say it?
You can say it any other time.
Yeah. It's fine. You can say it any other time. What if you say it in the prayer? It's not a good idea, because it's like sort of nothing that was done before by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I pray Asr, I pray Maghrib. No, you don't say to yourself that, but just by intention. Now, let's say you want to go to the masjid. So you take your car, you go to the masjid, you pray, and then you come back home. Let's say you go drive your car 30 minutes, pray in 10 minutes, and go back home 30 minutes. How long you get credit for?
70 minutes.
You get credit for 70 minutes?
Yeah.
Or for just 10 minutes prayer?
70 minutes.
Do you understand? Why? Because your prayer starts from the time you make wudu at home and you intend to go to the masjid. So that's the count start. And it doesn't end until you go back home and you're done from your prayer and get back home. So when you drive, you get more deeds. More deeds. Why? Because your prayers are going to be longer prayers. So you get more good deeds. You get this part? Okay. There is a Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who prays Isha in Jama'ah, the one who prays Isha in the masjid, it will count to him as if he make prayer half of the night. You know tahajjud prayer? It's half of the night. So it will count as if he fasted half of the night. I'm sorry, if he prayed half of the night. Then he said, the one who prays Fajr in Jama'ah, it counts as the one who prayed the other half of the night. So in praying Isha Jama'ah and Fajr Jama'ah, you get what? You get worship. It's like you have been praying all night. In other words, let's say you pray, you left home to pray Isha. So this is when the counter starts counting. And then you went the next day to pray Fajr. So the counter of good deeds starts from the time you left your home, the time you left your home going to the masjid, to the time that you came back for the Fajr prayer, after the Fajr prayer. You see what I'm saying here? You following me? So if you do Fajr and Isha, so your prayer starts from the time you left home for Isha and ends at the time you arrive home after Fajr. You see, this is how much Allah gives you a reward. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet as a gift. Also, the month of Ramadan is a gift, because The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah told the Prophet to say that you get 70, okay, for the worship prayers, for the obligatory prayers, you get 70 times, okay, as much. But for the sunnah prayers, it counts as obligatory. Which one gets more hasanat? Obligatory prayer or optional prayer?
Obligatory.
Huh? Which one has more hasanat?
Option.
Huh? This has more hasanat. That's right. The fard, the mandatory, they have to do, okay, gets more hasanat than you should go do. Okay, now, in Ramadan, your sunnah prayers count as fard. Your sunnah prayers count as fard. And your fard counts as 70 times fard. Fard means that you have to do. Okay? So, any optional deeds or any optional prayer you offer during Ramadan, it counts as if it is obligatory prayer. And any obligatory prayer you do at the Ramadan, it counts as 70 times, 70, 7 times obligatory pray. You got it? Okay. So all of these is to are intended to increase the life of Muslims. So that they live 60 years, yes, but they get multiples of the hasanat, so that the total worth at the end, the total worth of the ibadah, the Muslim did, is way much bigger than his age. When you get like 83 years for one night, you get 70 times for another night, you get 1,000 here, you get 1,000 there. Okay? So you do this, okay? And this will make your life, your worship life, more than your physical life. And it will make it much more than your worship life. Now, we're done. Okay. Well, this is what happens. You finish the homework of this week, you get your grade. Okay? Got it? Okay. Assalamu alaikum.